Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Oh, my goodness. This is the last day of 2007, and within just a matter of hours, depending on where you are, it's going to be a brand new year. I cannot imagine a better way to flow from the old into the new with a guest such as I have today, because one of the biggest issues with so many people is wellness. Our guest today, Alan E. Smith, has put out a marvelous book. It's an encyclopedia almost, called Unbreak Your Health, The Complete Guide to Complementary and Alternative Therapies. Alan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Donna. I appreciate the chance to be here with you.
When I received your book, the title of your book, I have to tell you, I thought, Unbreak Your Health. Well, let me find out what this is going to be about. I was so impressed with the way that you have taken your material and have gone through and put down in an easy-read format information about all kinds of alternative health formats. It is just wonderful. You have references in here. I just think it's absolutely marvelous. Now, I would like for you to tell my listeners a little bit about yourself. Why is it that you wanted to make such a commitment to bringing to the layman information about these alternative methods?
Well, this is actually the book that I wish had been available a couple of years ago when I was up at the Mayo Clinic. And I was up there for my own health problems, obviously, and after several days of testing, they said, well, we have good news and bad news. The good news is it's not going to kill you. The bad news is you're not going to like it, and there's nothing we can do about it. And I sat there waiting for a drum roll and a punchline, and there wasn't one. It was just one of the many health conditions that they really don't have any answers for. And I said at that point, well, okay, I guess I've hit a brick wall on mainstream medicine. I'm not going to live like this the rest of my life, so I've got to find something else. And at that point, you kind of say, okay, where do I start? Where do I go? Where do you even begin going on a new path? And I really didn't see anything out there that was what I would want. And I said, I'll bet there's going to be a few other folks that would like this kind of a book that is easy to read, that covers a lot of ground, and at least gives them a place to start their own journey on a new way to heal and a new healing path.
Well, I agree with you. Now, I like your very first two sentences in your book, that Unbreak Your Health is all about hope, from ancient healing therapies to the latest American innovations, that you've got more options for great health today than ever before. I really, really like that attitude, because I think that Western medicine and Eastern medicine and whatever other alternative methods there are out there can harmonize. I am so weary of people saying it's an either or, and there is this stuck mentality with it, and your book empowers someone. I was just talking with someone earlier that wants to know about alternative methods, and I said, if you can, listen to the show and also go and look up the book, because it enables people to become informed. And my gracious, there's so much that's going on all the time. Would you mind sharing with us exactly what had happened to you and what you found, what it was that worked for you?
Well, I certainly don't mind sharing a little bit. I hate to get into what they call an organ recital.
No, you don't need to do that.
But it was primarily digestive problems.
Mm-hmm.
Caused, in hindsight, I can look back and say, oh, of course it's obvious what the problem was. It was mainly stress. I've been traveling the country for over 20 years and was in a dying industry and hung on to it too long. And as you know, it's not what happens to us in life, but how we react to that experience
mm-hmm.
that's the problem. And I had some subconscious beliefs about work and personal value and things that were not exactly supporting me at that point in time. And I ran across a book right after the trip to Mayo Clinic from Bruce Lipton called Biology of Belief, which is a wonderful book that he's a cellular biologist, and he goes into the science of how the cells are affected by the energy of thoughts and feelings and beliefs. And you flip through the whole book and you say, boy, this is great. This is scientific validation of what we all, I think, feel instinctively, that, you know, we know there's a connection. And unfortunately, you get to the end of the book and Bruce doesn't say how to get that mind and belief structure working in your favor. But he makes one little reference to Rob Williams at the very end of the book and what's called a Psych-K process, short for psychological kinesiology. And it's really based on muscle testing. It's a way to directly communicate with the subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously I jumped on the phone and tracked Rob down and found out when there was a local workshop in my area, and the more I got involved with it, the better my health started to improve. And I said, this is just great stuff. Why don't people know about this? You know, we're so told so often by the doctors that you're just going to have to learn to live with it,
mm-hmm.
which is one of my pet gripes in life, that no, you don't have to learn to live with it. There's too many choices out there, too many options. And the more things I researched and found out about, the better my health got to be. And I said, you know, it's the old saying, somebody needs to write a book. And it dawned on me, said, well, I guess I'm going to have to be the one to write the book. So
what a marvelous way to begin an exciting journey. So many times we have things happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have sat in your pity pot and just go, oh, ho-hum, but you didn't. You started saying, what can I find out? What is out there for me? We have to start with ourselves first.
Absolutely.
And so then, because you empowered yourself, you then said, there's so much there. What can I share with other people? Where can I bring this in, and in what format? And I really got a kick, because out of some of the things that you put in here, one is, you said, hundreds of years ago, Jonathan Swift, author of Gulliver's Travels, said, the best doctors in the world are Dr. Diet, Dr. Quiet, and Dr. Merryman.
And some things obviously don't change a whole lot over 400 years.
I thought, oh my goodness, isn't that the truth? And we're all so different. There was a program that I watched last night, and I just am interjecting this because to me it is just so very, very exciting, and I'll be sharing more with my listeners. But there are people who are out there every day in the medical arena that are saying, I'm not satisfied, just like you weren't satisfied. They're saying, I'm not satisfied with what's going on. And there is a new tumor painting process that they have come up with that is just absolutely amazing, that will detect cancer cells in the body in a non-invasive way, so that you can go in and you can treat them. Your book brings up so many points of detail and information that's very, very current, and we'll discuss some of these things. But I also wanted to mention that you have in here, the National Institute of Health conducted a survey in 2005 reporting nearly 27% of some hospitals were offering one or more of alternative therapies. And one of the most popular was massage,
mm-hmm.
and also music and art therapy. And I have been seeing that happening up here in the Pacific Northwest. Many hospitals are saying to people, if you don't want radiation and chemo, let's see what else we can do for you. And one of the reasons that's happening is because the dollars are going into alternative forms. People are thinking for themselves.
Oh, absolutely. And whether they like it or not, the medical pharmaceutical industry, which is a $2.2 trillion complex right now, they're losing business no matter, you know, what they do to try and stop the leakage. People are finding these therapies and finding out that they work wonderfully. And so, yeah, it's either, you know, join them or lose them, and they're deciding they better start opening their minds and get involved with it sooner better than later.
Yes, and because of the Internet, people are saying, if someone says this isn't available because this, thus, that, or so, that happened with red yeast rice. Someone called me not too long ago, and that has a natural statin in it. They
mm-hmm.
said it's been removed by the FDA. There's no reason for it, but you can't find it in a health food store anywhere. So they got theirs in Canada.
There are ways around some of these problems.
That's right. People are saying, because of the Internet, I'm going to get around this situation because someone in some ivory tower somewhere is saying, I'm going to make decisions for you. And they're saying, no way. And again, what I think is wonderful is that you did all of this research. It took you over a year to pull together all of these contact points of information. You have the American Psychosomatic Society. You have the extended medicine. I'll let you do that one.
No, I don't have any better luck with it than you do, Don.
I'll spell it out later. Homeopathy. You go into something that I just have learned about, epigenetics. And we'll talk about this in just a moment, but you really expanded your world. I would imagine people are so excited about what you have done.
The ones that have read the book are just thrilled that there's something so easy to read that covers such a wide territory. And as one person said, it's kind of like being on the top of the mountain, that you can look down and see everything at once and then say, oh, that's over there. That's what I think I really need to get involved with, and then find their own path. But at least this is the starting point, and that's what so many of us needed.
Right. You say everything in this book will work for someone, but nothing in this book will work for everyone. And that is so true. That is the way it's always been in medicine. You know, an apple a day might be fine for one person, and somebody else goes, oh, my goodness, if I have an apple a day, I'm sick as a dog.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? It's all chemistry, and that's what we are coming to understand. And our emotions have a great deal of an effect on that. Let's talk a little bit about environmental medicine. And you have these websites in here. So someone could have this in their library and go and research these websites. What a wonderful resource you're offering, Alan. And for those of you that have just turned on the show, Unbreak Your Health is what we're talking about today. This is the complete guide to complementary and alternative therapies. Talk to us a little bit about environmental medicine.
That was one of the many. When I started the book, got almost 2 years ago now, I had about 60 therapies that I was aware of. And I said, well, that's twice as many as has ever been published before, so that'll be a pretty good book. But when I started actually doing the research, as I would finish one category, I'd run across one or two therapies I'd never heard of before. And it just kept going on and on. And environmental medicine was actually one of those that I didn't realize there was actually a category, that there is a specialty that focuses just on environmental influences in our lives and some of the toxins and pollutions and ways to deal with them. And again, the more you learn and the more you find out, you say, well, this is tremendous information. These folks might have part of my answer.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep adding to it. One of the things that people really have a hard time digesting when they first hear it, but the more they think about it, the more it makes sense kind of inside on an instinctive level, is I tell everybody, you know, if you accept the basic concept that you're not just a physical being, you're not just a body, you have a mind, you have a energy or spirit also, so you've got a three-part, at least three-facet to your being. And if you accept that premise, then you know, your physical health problem has to be connected with the other two parts. You can't divorce it.
Mm-hmm.
It has to all be connected. So your health problem, whatever it is going to be a unique combination of factors that's different than somebody else that might have the same symptoms and same diagnosis and same label, but it's not going to be the same solution exactly. And that's why I said it's like a combination lock. You're going to have to walk your own path and find those things that work for your solution. And everybody looks like, well, I don't want to have to work on this. I want an easy solution. Give me a pill. Let me be done with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, that's not the way it's going to work. If you really want to find the source of your problem, you're going to have to look a little bit deeper.
And I agree.
It's a hard, it can be a challenging journey, but it's also a very rewarding one.
It can be, if we're willing to take on that aspect of personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, doctors, to me, are a very valuable resource. I have met good ones, and I've met bad one. I'll just leave it at that. But the key is we're dealing with human beings.
Absolutely.
And so instead of putting physicians up on pedestals, as was the indoctrination for so long, we need to understand that we have a responsibility. One, we have to keep the physician informed. I just got an email from someone yesterday who was taking, 300-some-odd milligrams of aspirin a day. This is a person that did not let their doctor know about this. They had to have a surgery, and they ended up with a bleeding factor that should never have been there.
Absolutely.
Well, the aspirin was thinning their blood so much, the doctor, if he had known about this, would have advised this individual, you don't do this. Not when you're going to have surgery, because it's going to cause excess bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
This person had been given this edict, if you will, by some physician, and has been following it for years without questioning it. She didn't need to do that. So we have to learn to question.
Oh, absolutely.
We have to learn to be open. And again, that's what's so wonderful about your book, because you give all these different options for thinking. Let's talk about epigenetics. This is a new one for me. I just became acquainted with this, I think, in the last 2 weeks.
And Bruce Lipton's book.
Yeah, it's in your book, but I also saw a program. There was a wonderful program on Nova called The Ghost Gene that was discussing epigenetics. Tell us what you discovered about that.
Well, the term, as I understand it, came from Bruce Lipton and his work on energy and cellular interaction. And it's a question of the genes. It gives us control. The genes in our body, everybody assumes if you have the cancer gene that you're going to get cancer. That's just the way it is. It's carved in stone. And what Bruce Lipton's theory shows is that we have the ability to turn these genes on and off, depending on the energy and our beliefs and those other factors. Those genes don't act on their own. They have to be turned on by something, either the environment, ourselves, some outside influence. And that is an exciting enough concept, but there's another tidbit of information in the book from Paul Allen's research, the co-founder of Microsoft, Bill Gates. One of his philanthropic operations was dealing with research on the human genome. And his question was, how much control do we have over our genes? And they were doing early-stage research with mice, and they found out that 80% of the genes were directly controlled and influenced by the mind. And that was just way higher than anybody ever dreamed was going to be possible. So what your genes are is a blueprint. It's a set of options. But that doesn't mean that you are cursed to have to live with whatever health defect or whatever problem is there. Because even if, let's say as an example, you start to get cancer, you should in some way, somewhere down the road in time, be able to activate the genes to counter it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just an exciting, it's almost Star Trek kind of medicine.
Yes, it is, because it then puts a sense of empowerment into the hands of the individual. And someone might say, but I don't understand, I'm very afraid. But when we can know what's going on and we can become educated, then we have a chance of being within a support group. And that's one of the things that I think is so great, because there is that support. There are those people that will be happy to share with you what they know. It may or may not work, but you're going to have support. I think that is the key to wellness also. It
used absolutely.
To be there was such an isolationist attitude, you know, take your medicine and suffer, stiff upper lip. That's the way it's supposed to be. And it's mind, body, spirit. It's all connected. What you've said is so right to the point that I think your book does us a wonderful, wonderful service. Now, you go into the Bach flower remedies. You go into so many things. What I wanted to do was talk about something that I had never heard of before. Acupuncture is a common terminology. More and more doctors are making it okay to deal with this. They're wanting to become educated about it. They're learning to accept a different philosophy that we're dealing with the body being an energy unit. It's a living machine that has its own intelligence. In fact, every cell has its own intelligence. You have Bonnie Pruden myotherapy. I thought, goodness gracious, what is this? It was amazing information. Tell us about Bonnie Pruden.
Well, I was going to say, Donna, you've read my book more recently than I have. You got me here off the top of my head.
Okay, it's page 29.
I just flipped open to it.
And he did something with muscle spasms.
Dealing primarily with trigger point therapies, which basically came down to that there are certain, let's call them vortexes for lack of a better term, where energy, emotions, events and traumas in our life take up a physical location in the body. And it's kind of a variation of on the theme of network spinal analysis, or NSA, which is kind of on the same theme that in some cases, NSA is based on chiropractic principles, but what they're saying is you can't adjust the spine until the body releases the tension enough for it to be moved. And Bonnie Pruden's myotherapy is very similar. It's based on the same concept of these vortexes or center points, collection spots for trauma and emotional upsets, things of that nature, and that you have to dig in there with this therapy to release them and get them to unlock and let the body go back to its natural state so it can heal itself. That as long as these blockages are in there, the body can't perform and can't function properly.
Then you also have, and there is a website on this, on every single item in this book, for those of you listening, you have access to websites. So when you get this book, you have got, for all intents and purposes, a resource directory that allows you to explore, to question, to investigate, all from the safety of your own home. And you can call and ask questions. You can do all kinds of things. This is marvelous. Let's talk about Brain Gym, educational kinesiology. This is being used with kids, but I know that it really helps adults. Give us a little bit of information about the Denisons, because they have done some very special stuff here.
This is, again, one of the many different types of therapies to change the way how the brain functions and how it's been performing. They talk about the brain functioning in three different dimensions. The lateral, which is coordinating both sides of the brain, the left and right hemisphere, as well as focal points from front to back, which is really critical for the ability to comprehend information, and centering, which is what they call the top and bottom ability to coordinate different aspects of the brain. So it's you may have information, you may have processing that's really not running at the level that it needs to or should. And the Brain Gym process, educational kinesiology as it's also known, is a way to better improve the flow, correct the imbalances, getting it working in more better performance. One of the advantages of my book, one of the things I really got a kick out of, is once you read all of it from front to back, you begin to see how there are common threads that weave through different things. And I'll jump off of Brain Gym to one a different aspect of similar principles, one called auditory intervention technique, which is really designed, was designed by a French physician to deal with ADD, ADHD, real problems with processing information in the brain. And he developed a therapy using sound waves, music, variations of sound, to literally retrain the brain on how it processes information. And so, again, you can see that there's a similar concept on how the brain performs to Brain Gym. They're taking different ways of correcting it, but it's like they see the same problems, and they say, well, let's, if this doesn't work, let's try this one. Let's, you know, there are different therapies, almost 360 degrees, I'll say, for lack of a better term, to approach the same problem. And as you said, if one thing doesn't work, there are plenty of other things out there to try.
Absolutely. And that is what is so wonderful. I think in the Western mind, and I will speak for myself, it's too easy to put yourself into a box and buy into a description that someone has put out there. We'll watch television, we'll see all of these different things that are put out there, and we'll say, gee, I guess that's what I've got. Instead of taking advantage of the technology of the day to find out what are the specifics, what are the tests that you can take to find out about your gene patterning, what is it in blood tests? It's like a friend of mine went and had some blood tests done, and she found she was deficient in B12. And in doing that, just taking that additional nutritional supplement, and the doctor was a younger doctor that was versed in nutrition, she said, this will take some of this fogginess that you feel that's in your brain. Your body is lacking this. So she actually wrote a prescription for B12, if you can believe that. Wrote a prescription for B12 because there's a concentrated solution that can be used that she takes once a week.
Mm-hmm.
What a difference it's making in her life.
Well, there's mainstream medicine, unfortunately, is so dominated by the pharmaceutical industry and the artificial drugs that we lose track of a lot of the more natural, easier solutions. And again, going back to the holistic combination lock, as I explain it, you can have the same problem. And I tend to use allergies as an example because it seems like almost everybody has one or knows somebody who does.
Oh, and that's a good one to use.
It's, you know, so we all have the same drippy nose, you know, watery eyes, same symptoms, the same label, probably using the same medications. And yet if your combination lock is different than the next person, let's say your particular problem of allergies is actually body-based, then a therapy like NAET would be more effective at solving your problem because it's based, again, on chiropractic principles. It's a variation on designed specifically for allergies. And that works great if that's your problem. If your highest number on your combination lock is in the body, that'll be the right therapy. On the other hand, if you have a low body number but a high mind number, then a process like Psy-K, which is a process I'm very familiar with, would be more beneficial. And in fact, I've had great success with some of my clients. I had one lady in particular. We had finished a session a little early, and I think it was right before lunch. That's why we were talking about food, and she kind of made the offhand remark about she wished she could eat Mexican food. And being down here in Texas, if you can't eat Mexican food, you've taken about half the restaurants out. And I said, well, you know, we've got a few minutes. Would you like to, you know, ask your subconscious if there's something going on? Is there a message or something that is causing this allergy that's really an emotional or mental issue? She said, sure. So we poked around, and sure enough found out that she'd had a relationship with a young Mexican boy literally 20 years earlier that had ended poorly. And since the subconscious doesn't know time, it was still a real-time event. It just had happened in the subconscious level. So we did a couple of balances, and lo and behold, no more migraines after eating Mexican food. It just resolved the problem. And yet, okay, so now if you've got a mind issue that's driving your physical symptoms, then, you know, there are therapies like Psy-K for that. But if you've got a low body number and a low mind number, but the problem is in your energy or spirit level, then you need something like acupuncture or EFT that deals in that category. So, again, you can have the same symptoms, the same label, but there can be totally different therapies to resolve the problem based on your unique situation.
You have resources throughout the book. You have them in the back of the book. And what I think is so wonderful, Alan, about your publication is that you're saying through what you have done, take charge of your life. This is something you did, and you have brought this wonderful array of information into such a compact book, so well done, so easy to understand. You've opened up a plethora of information. Health solutions from the newest technology to ancient therapies. That's right on the front of your book, and it is wonderful. What's your website, Alan?
Very easy to remember, Donna. It's www.unbreakyourhealth.com.
Okay, unbreakyourhealth.com. For those of you listening, put it on one of your favorites. Go get the book. It's a great way to start the new year if you have a friend, a member of your family that is looking at some health issues. Make your doctor your partner. If you have one that's not interested in doing that, find another one. But remember, when you get down to the basics, the more informed you are, the better you're going to be able to work with a physician, and you're going to be able to help your body help itself. Thank you so much, Alan, for being my guest. Go to his website, Unbreak Your Health.
Thank you, Donna. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Welp. Hey, this is the last show of the year 2007. Telephone lines are open, and if you would like to chat with me, well, we'll be happy to do that. Give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. It's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. If you're a new listener, I'm so delighted you're joining us. All you have to do if you choose to call in is give me your first name or initial. And, of course, I always like to know where you're calling from. And then I am happy to share with you my mental impressions. I consider myself an information resource. And after that, then you'll be welcome to ask a question about anything you like. I've been getting so much good material. Here we are, the day of New Year's Eve. And, by the way, tomorrow we're going to have a Best of Donna show, because I'm going to be celebrating New Year's Day with my family and friends. But I so appreciate the different material that's been sent to me. I'm finally catching up. Gracious, the holidays do keep you busy, don't they? And I haven't been on my computer all that much, but, oh, there's so much going on. My newsletter will be going out tomorrow. Some of you may already have received it, but there is another big batch that's going out tomorrow. And you'll have all of the information about my upcoming appearances. February is going to be packed with travel and all kinds of things going on. And also there's things that are happening during the month of January. But my goodness, the first quarter of the year started off with a bang, I'll tell you. It's really surprised me. Now, I got something that's real cute from Cheryl. And she said, after serious and cautious consideration, your contract of friendship has been renewed for this new year of 2008. She said, it was a very hard decision to make, so try not to screw it up. This is her wish for me. This is what she wrote, but I would say this is adorable. It belongs to all of us. So I will say this is my wish for you as well in 2008. This is how it reads. May peace break into your house, and may thieves come to steal your debts. May the pockets of your jeans become a magnet of $100 bills. May love stick to your face like Vaseline, and may laughter assault your lips. May your clothes smell of success like smoking tires, and may happiness slap you across the face, and may your tears be that of joy. May the problems you had forget your home address. In simple words, may 2008 be the best year of your life. I loved it. I thought that was great. Cheryl, that was just absolutely adorable. And I really appreciated that, and I thought this is really good, a good attitude, a good way, because it is an opportunity for new beginnings. It's wonderful when you have this holiday, the New Year holiday, and it's just fun. It really is fun, because if you can sort of get linked up in that tradition where you sort of take some time to be quiet and think about what's most important to you, it really makes a difference. Now, Elna Ray has a poem that I like. Balloons and confetti everywhere, what a happy sight. Noisemakers and sparklers light up this winter's night. A new day is beginning. A brand new year is here, filled with good wishes for health, peace, and cheer. And isn't that the truth? This is a celebration. The holiday season as we have it, you know, here in our time zone, usually it starts around Thanksgiving, and then you've got almost about 6 weeks where we have interactive activities. There's all kinds of festivals and things that are going on, and the new year just closes everything out. And it's a time to really sort of shake out the old so that you can have space for the new. I was surprised, and in my newsletter I mentioned some of this, I was surprised to find out that New Year's is the oldest holiday historically that is recorded. That was not something I was aware of. But it wasn't done January 1st. Mm-mm. According to written records, the New Year Day was celebrated in spring. It was done with the first new moon, actually the first visible crescent, after the vernal equinox, the first day of spring. And you think about that, that was a pretty logical thing to do. So for thousands of years, that's when the day was celebrated. And to my surprise, it went back to the Babylonian days. And they had a festival for 11 days. Isn't that a whoopee? Partying for 11 days. Well, I don't know who took care of business during that time. But hey, they were Babylonians. They could get away with just about everything. But it was the Romans that changed the date. It was the Romans that changed the date. Of course, calendars went through some changes. But January 1 became the specific date for the new year. And there are so many traditions that have evolved through the years. I know if you have relatives from the South, one of the favorite traditions is the black-eyed peas. And I said that in the singular because when you fix black-eyed peas, you got a whole bunch of them. But one of the traditions that I was aware of for many years is that when you had black-eyed peas on New Year's Day, then you had to be sure you left one in your plate so that you would always have abundance. That was what it was. But there's so many other traditions. The Dutch, they have a belief in the form of the circle. And for them, they think that eating donuts on New Year's Day is going to bring you good fortune. Hey, I'm in flavor of that one. That's a real good thing to have. Now, how did the baby become involved with the New Year tradition? You see the story, the cartoon, I think it's Frosty the Snowman, where they talk about how the New Year's baby goes through, and I'm trying to remember which cartoon it is. Maybe one of you can call in and tell me what it is. But it's where the New Year's baby gets lost, and they have to go, and they have to find him, and they have to make sure that he's in his right place for the New Year. Well, the tradition of using a baby to signify the new year started in Greece. Mm-hmm. So that far back. It was about 600 B.C. And the reason they did it was all because of a god that they had at that time, the god of wine, Dionysus. And this, I'm not familiar with him. I'm familiar with Bacchus, but I didn't know about this other one. Now, what he did, this god, Dionysus, he would parade a baby in a basket, which represented the annual rebirth of the spirit of fertility. Also, early Egyptians used the baby as a symbol of rebirth. Now, what's interesting, when the Christian church came along, they thought that this was terrible. They tried to wipe out the tradition. They said, no, this is awful. We're not going to do it. However, finally, it was permitted. Why? Because everybody said, we like the baby. We like the symbology. This goes back for thousands of years. We're going to keep it. So the church finally allowed its members to celebrate the new year with a baby, which was to symbolize the birth of the baby Jesus. Now, the image of a baby with a New Year's banner is a symbolic representation of the new year, was brought to America by the Germans. We have to give Germans credit for a lot of things. We have the Christmas traditions. There's so many things that the German culture embraced. And they have used the symbol of the baby with their New Year's banner since the 14th century. So it's been around a long, long time. Now, I have to say that on Christmas, at our big dinner that we usually have in our home, one of my guests was, we were talking about New Year's, and one of my guests, who is Irish and has brilliant red hair, was chuckling because they were going to be going to this particular activity on New Year's Eve. And he had said, well, I'm not going to be the first one that walks through the door. And we all asked, well, what difference does it make? Why wouldn't you want to be the first? If you got there, you just walk in. He said, uh-uh. The tradition is that if the first visitor that comes in, the first person that walks through the door, does not have dark hair, you're going to have bad luck. So he said, I've got red hair. I'm going to walk through and be the first one. Well, I thought that was funny. And all of us laughed. We just joked and went, ho, ho, ho. Well, guess what? I found that it really is a tradition on the part of a lot of people, and they have said that the first visitor on New Year's Day, not New Year's Eve, but New Year's Day, would bring either good luck or bad luck for the rest of the year. It was particularly lucky if the visitor happened to be a tall, dark-haired man. Now, they didn't say what would happen if a tall, dark-haired woman walked in. But if you were fair-skinned and your hair was not really, really dark, well, depending on tradition. So there's just all kinds of things that people have evolved over the years. And traditions sometimes are so much fun. It's like the mistletoe at Christmas or the giving of gifts or so many other things that we develop. And many times families have their own particular tradition. Sometimes they have something that involves the children in the family. Other times they have something like maybe a lucky penny and a cake. Whatever it is, it's fun and it is for celebration. And Auld Lang Syne, well, that is a song. They honestly don't know how old the melody is. But Robert Burns decided he was going to write a song because he came across an old man that was singing the tune, and there were certain lyrics, and so he just incorporated it, and Auld Lang Syne means long, old, long ago, or simply something like the good old days. So that's just a little bit of New Year's trivia that I thought you might enjoy. I find it interesting. I've matured. I've found that history is really fascinating. So many times we can find out why something originated, and then we can determine whether we want to keep it or not. Isn't that a wonderful perspective to have? If someone has done something traditionally for a long time a certain way, doesn't mean it has to be continued. Many times things are started without someone even thinking about why they were started. They just automatically pick up and do it. Well, there should come a moment when you ask, where did that come from? I've got a fun story to share with you about a pot roast and a young girl who was learning to cook and a tradition that was in that family. But we're going to take a break for just a moment. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight about 2008. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Also a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, what I want to do, I want to let you know about my guest this week. Now, tomorrow, because it is New Year's Day, we are going to be playing a Best of Donna. So I will not be on air live with you, but we'll be coming back bright and sassy in a new year of 2008. And our topic on Wednesday is going to be giving thanks. MJ Ryan has put together some wonderful, wonderful material, and I can't think of a better way to open up the new year but with an attitude of gratitude. Then on Thursday, we're going to be talking about kids' ethics. Bud Bottoms is my guest. This is a man who's been involved in the educational environment, and he really feels as if this is something that we need to address. And it's up to us as adults to be able to present this to kids, and he has got some wonderful, wonderful material. Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, Dr. Petty, M.D. Today we were talking about Alan Smith's wonderful book about alternative methods. A lot of physicians are feeling encouraged. They feel like they've got some things that are able to help their patients, and Dr. Petty feels this way, and he's going to be discussing healing, meaning, and purpose. So we have a wonderful lineup of people, and then of course for the rest of the month, if you want to know who's going to be on the air with me, go to my website. That'll be posted by Wednesday, because remember, we've got the holidays, so my webmaster's going to need some time. But by Wednesday, we will have everything posted up no later than Thursday as far as guests. But you can go to BBS when you're right here on the website. You can go in and you can find out about the guests, because all of the things will be listed on the index page of information for the Donna Sebo Show. So you'll be able to see all of the people that are coming up, and if you have a particular interest, just pay attention, and then you'll know that that show will be in the archive within 24 hours, which is a wonderful thing. And by the way, you can always catch up with the shows, hear about different programs, go in, review them, and again, you can go into our archives. I wanted to share a point of information that I really am very excited about, and I mentioned it when we were talking with Alan in the first part of the program. There are so many sincere people working towards making this world a better place. And almost every day, if you turn on news, you're not necessarily going to get information. You're going to be getting what I call entertainment, and you're not getting specific information like you should. Well, last night, I had the wonderful opportunity, due to my husband, I was busy working on my newsletter, and he said, Donna, I think you need to come downstairs. There's a program on, and it's about breakthroughs for cancer. I said, you're absolutely right. So I stopped what I was doing. I went downstairs, and am I glad I did. And I'm so appreciative of my husband letting me know about this. Because this was a special program here that was run in the Pacific Northwest. There were different categories. They had an hour dedicated to this. And the first part of the program was dedicated to what is called tumor painting. Tumor painting. I had never heard of this. Now, they were doing research on this for a long time at Children's Hospital, the Fred Hutchinson's Children's Hospital here in the Seattle area. When you're dealing with children, you have a whole different set of cells and experiences. You've got a much smaller package to work with. And sadly, many, many children develop cancers that, unless you've been affected by it, you just have no idea that these kids are getting it. I mean, they're getting it when they're really, really small. Well, these researchers tried to find something that instead of giving kids a whole bunch of chemo or a whole bunch of radiation, which we all know is highly toxic, and it kills the healthy cells along with the sick cells. They wanted to find out how can we attack just the unhealthy. So they found a fluorotoxin that comes from scorpions. In fact, they mentioned a specific scorpion. It's called the Israeli death scorpion. You might go, whoa, this isn't too interesting. I'm going to be interested in something about a scorpion? I mean, the poison is so toxic, it can kill you. That's true. However, what they did find was a molecule, and I don't see that I'm repeating this exactly, but it's a generalization as I was best able to make notes. They found a particular molecule in the toxicity of this poison in a scorpion's tail that was not toxic. Now, what they've done with it, they have experimented with it, and they find that when they put this, there's a particular fluid combination they've developed. When that is put into a person's body, it literally paints the path of the unhealthy cells. And this doctor said this is motivated by the peptides in the body. So the body will take this molecule, and then they can put you into a scanner, a body scanner, give you an MRI or whatever it is that they do, and that reads it. They can take a picture of it, and they'll know where it is. And he talked about this physician. His name is Dr. Olson. He talked about how he had a patient that had cancers, and this highlighted up the different areas in the body. And there was this one area that looked like fatty tissue. Well, he said, I don't know why this had been highlighted, but he sent it to the lab. And the lab specialist said, this is fatty tissue. You are correct. But there are beginning cancer cells in this fatty tissue. So they were able then to go back to their patient and say, this is what we found. This is what we're going to remove because this is where the patterning is. What a phenomenal gift this is from the world of science. They have learned how to synthesize this so that this tracer, if you will, is going through the body and highlighting things that the doctors otherwise wouldn't be able to see. I think it's marvelous. So I just think if anything that we can become aware of that enables us to go to our own physician or maybe help a loved one, there's no way doctors can keep up with everything. We can't keep up with our junk mail, for heaven's sake. But if in some way we're able to open that door of information for someone else, isn't that marvelous? Now, I wish I could say this program was going to be going all over the United States. I don't know that it is. But for those of you in Washington, it was on last night at 9 o'clock. I don't recall the channel, but Jean Enerson was the spokesperson, the host, that went through the program. And it was all titled Cancer Breakthrough. So if I can get even more information, I will. But remember, there are people out there that really care. The show is coming to a close. This is the last one for the year 2007. We'll be back with you live tomorrow. Not tomorrow, on Wednesday. Tomorrow, January 1, we are going to be playing a Best of Donna because I'm going to be with family and friends. But remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You've got a lot to look forward to, and it's great to be alive. Talk with you next in the new year. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.